Isaiah wrote the prophecy we heard in today's first reading around 600 years before the birth of Christ. It's often referred to as a suffering servant discourse. It was one of the various prophecies about how the Messiah would come to save God's people through suffering. In other words, God was preparing his chosen people to recognize the promised Messiah by affliction and by being crushed in iniquity. These are direct allusions to the passion, crucifixion, and death of our Lord Jesus Christ 600 years before the actual event. It was precisely through these sufferings that Jesus would take upon our sins upon himself, atone for them, and reopen the gates of heaven for each of our salvation. The apostles, as we heard in today's gospel, hadn't studied this prophecy very well that we read in Isaiah today. You see, their idea of a Messiah was that Jesus would be a powerful political and military leader and reestablish Israel as a leader and a political power in the international scene. And so James and John wanted to secure for themselves a place of prestige and power in the king's cabinet. Jesus had to remind them that his kingdom is about sacrifice and service, not power, not political gains or self-indulgence. But we can ask ourselves, why didn't Jesus attain our salvation through political means? Why did God arrange things that we receive salvation through the cross? Today's psalm that we sang earlier gives us that answer. When we prayed, Lord, let your mercy be upon us as we place our trust in you. Trust is the foundation stone of our salvation. Original sin was broken when we broke our relationship with God in Adam and Eve, and we failed to trust in the Lord. As the Catechism puts in paragraph 397, man was tempted by the devil, let his trust in his Creator die in his heart, and abusing his freedom, disobeyed God's command. This is what man's first sin consists of. All subsequent sin would be disobedience towards God and lack of trust in his goodness. To rebuild that relationship, which is the only place the human heart can find happiness, God had to win back our trust. And he did so by suffering and dying on the cross, proving to us that there's nothing we can do, no matter how terrible or how evil we may do things, that he will never turn his love away from us. No matter what we do, what we say, he will faithfully love us and hopefully love us into relationship with him. One of the best examples of fully trusting in our Lord is the life of Mary, our mother. And we look at her life from the Annunciation to the point of being at the foot of the cross. She was always trusting in God and in his desires for her life. She never wavered in that trust or in that belief. And as she was kneeling and praying at the foot of the cross, I'm sure her heart was very torn. I'm sure that she was probably scared and confused, wondering why would Jesus have to undergo the crucifixion. She probably didn't see where this made any sense or brought any clarity into her life. But Mary always trusted in Jesus and trusted in God's will for her life and for that of her son Jesus. And she never wavered from that. We too as Christians are called to trust and believe as Mary believed at the foot of the cross, that good would come from Jesus' death. And we did see that good that came from his death, his resurrection and salvation and eternal life for each of us. Christ is our representative in heaven, and he is interceding for each of us, just like an ambassador intercedes for those that they govern in the government. And what is Jesus interceding for us for? First of all, for mercy, the total forgiveness and healing of our past. And second of all, for grace, the strength, the light, and the courage we need for whatever the present and the future will bring to our lives. Christ suffered to win back our trust, but it is not enough to understand this with our minds. We have to trust him with our lives and in our hearts, in all that we do, and on our daily journey. A privileged way to do this is through how we deal with our own sufferings. When God permits us to suffer, especially if the suffering isn't the result of our own sin or our own stupidity, he's giving us a golden opportunity to exercise our trust in him. And as Brian was ordained and I was contemplating my own diaconate ordination and priesthood ordination, I was just remembering my formation. And it's easy for us to trust in the Lord when things are going good, isn't it? When everything in our life is going smoothly, we don't have as much need for Christ in our lives, and life seems to go quite well. But when things are difficult or when we are challenged, that's when we tend to turn to prayer or turn to the Lord to help us. But he desires for us to turn to him in good times and in also difficulty or challenging moments in our lives. And I was reminded in my own formation as being formed to become a priest that at the seminary, you're kind of under a microscope. Everything you do is being criticized and watched. And it's a lot of pressure. If you've ever had a position or a job where you're always under pressure, it gets very tiring and very exhausting. And I knew I was called to be a priest, but yet you have these formators that represent the church and try to help you grow in holiness and in also the discernment of your vocation. But I had, about the third year in of 6 years, I finally said, Lord, I turn this all over to you. I put this burden at the foot of the cross, knowing that if you want me to be a priest, I'll become a priest. But I'm not going to live in stress. I'm not any longer going to have this burden on my shoulders. Because if I'm called to your priesthood to share in it, it's because you desire it. I can desire it, but I can't make it happen. And when we do that, when we turn over a burden or a difficulty to the Lord, we experience great peace, don't we? We experience peace, joy, and happiness. And the Lord desires for each of us to experience that every day throughout the day. And it's hard because many of us can be controlling or we have a difficult time in trusting others because of past experiences or different situations in our lives. But the Lord desires for us to trust him always and in all ways trust in him through the good and the bad and the difficult. Because when we do that, we experience greater peace. And the Lord doesn't desire for us to have strife in our lives. But when we have moments of strife or challenges, when we turn to him, he's always there for us. He will never abandon or forsake us. But he wants us to give him the yoke, and he will carry it with us. And it's an opportunity for us to grow in faith through those moments of suffering, those moments of difficulty. But he wants us to allow him into that moment and to share that experience with him. So as we go forward in our Mass, as we come to the Eucharistic table, I invite each of us to give our joys, but also those moments of difficulty to our Lord and say, Lord, I invite you into this difficulty or challenge in my life so that I may trust you more fully and allow you to enter into my faith and my relationship with you through this difficulty. And when we do that, we will experience the joy, the peace, and the fulfillment that He so desires for each of us to experience, not when life is just easy, but when life is also difficult.